This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to go from Wall Street high flyer to the heart of the Trump White House and out again in just 11 days? Anthony Scaramucci, the brash businessman with a knack for headlines, pulls no punches in his new book, From Wall Street to the White House and Back, The Scaramucci Guide to Unbreakable Resilience. Scaramucci is a financier, author, and former public figure. He started his career on Wall Street at Goldman Sachs before founding his own successful investment firm, Skybridge Capital. Scaramucci has also written several books on finance and business. On the political front, he became, briefly served in the White House as communications director under President Trump in 2017. However, his tenure was, well, shall we say, short-lived and has since distance himself from some of Trump's views. Anthony, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate you reading that introduction the way my mom wrote it. So thank you very much for that. I want to thank you for following her orders.
Well, you know, it's
a pleasure to be on with you.
I was taught how to follow order instructions well, shall we say?
Yeah, there you go. Right, that's also a secret to staying married, by the way.
Amen. But happy wife, happy life. Right.
Amen. Amen. Well said,
Anthony. I gotta ask. Well, let's talk a little bit about your days in the Trump White House. You were White House Communications Director under President Trump for 11 days. Your relationship with the former president has, let's be gentle, let's say soured quite a bit since then, to say the least. Looking back, what's it like to be, you know, Donald Trump's communications director, to be within that inner circle?
Well, listen, you know, it's not a personal thing for me. I mean, I can't speak on behalf of the former president, but I enjoyed his personality when I worked for him on the campaign. We got into it a little bit in the White House. We didn't see things 100% the same way. And, you know, so he fired me. And again, he had the right to do that. As I write in the book, I'm fully accountable for my own firing. I don't blame him or General Kelly or anybody. But, you know, what came about with me and President Trump is just a disagreement, a civil disagreement on direction, America, values. One of the things he said to me when I was in the White House, he called me a deep stater, which I found somewhat ironic because I grew up out here on Long Island. I think my time in Washington was those 11 days and maybe one school field trip. So it's very hard for me to be a deep stater. But his point was he wanted us to work for him. And I saw it as us working for the American people, the institution of the presidency. And, you know, then, by the way, that view was not only shared by me, but it was also shared by the vice president. It was shared by many of the cabinet members. And so it's not just me that it's broken from Mr. Trump. There's about 40 of us, including Vice President Pence. And so, you know, listen, it's not a you know, listen, I'm a big believer in we can have civil disagreement and we can have disagreements on policies. I think where I draw the line is I want to preserve the institutions of the country, the checks and balances of the system. And to quote somebody like Secretary Esper, let's not threaten that. Let's not threaten the checks and balances in the system. Mr. Trump represents that right now. So I'm willing to hold out for what I think will be a different sort of Republican after his candidacy is over.
Yeah.
One way or another. You know, he's either going to win and spend 4 years in the White House or try to be disruptive to us, or he's going to lose and hopefully we'll find somebody different than him.
You wouldn't have taken the job had you not seen something in the president. You obviously wanted to work with him. What changed to sour you so much so that now you're one of his most outspoken critics, so much now so that you've called him a traitor? I mean, you've gone that so far to the extreme.
Well, he's un-American, so he's the most un-American of the presidential candidates, period. And don't go by me, go by what he's saying. He wants to deport 15 million people. I guess we need to get a Handmaid's Tale armored vehicle. And that won't even just be a show. It'll be a whole, you know, streaming series of deportation, 15 million people. He says he wants to disregard the current system of checks and balances. He's presenting something called Project 2025, which stands for unitary executive power. He says he wants to go after people and empower the FCC. So if you're on the air saying something that he disagrees with, he wants to pull your FCC license. He told two of his defense attorneys that he plans on using the FBI as a Gestapo. He has a list of people that he plans on persecuting after he returns to office. I mean, I could keep going. I mean, but there's a very, very long list of things. These are classically un-American things to do. And so for me, I disagree with that. There are policies, by the way. I see myself fairly objectively. I think there are policies that the president has that I like and I respect, but they're outweighed by some of this other stuff. I mean, the most appalling thing to me, frankly, is the deportation issue. We know from a logistics point of view that this would almost be impossible to prosecute, yet I think you have to take him seriously when he speaks like this. And I think it's a danger to people who don't take it seriously.
Let's take that issue, though. I mean, you've got, on the one hand, let's say you're right, and let's say that's an extreme. But look at Joe Biden, assuming he's competent enough to serve another term. Let's just be honest and say wide open border that we have, where we have just a flood of illegals coming in, isn't that just as dangerous to the country?
Well, I certainly don't like that. I think it's less disruptive to the country than goon squads going around the country and ripping people out of people's houses and deporting them. But I don't like that. I don't agree with it. As you know, the president just signed an executive order that's going to stem the tide of that. He should have done that several years ago, frankly. He should have never repealed some of the Trump executive orders. This is the partisan politics. And again, I don't agree with a lot of the things that President Biden stands for. And I've been open about that and honest about it, but it's reminiscent of what Mayor Ed Koch once said. He said, if you agree with 7 out of the 12 things I'm doing, you should vote for me. If you agree with 12 out of the 12 things I'm doing, you need a psychiatrist. And so I don't think you're going to find a politician that your fingerprint politically is going to match their fingerprint. I would like more center-right policy move in the country. I'm not for the hard left. I don't agree with that. But I am a pro-business person. To provide historical context for listeners, from George Washington, George W. Bush, $7 trillion of deficit spending. From Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Biden, those three presidents, $28 trillion of deficit spending. And so this is a bipartisan indictment. We've been irresponsible with the Treasury. We've been irresponsible with the overpromising. We either need to tax people more or we need to spend less, but borrowing and printing the money is generational theft. So So again, that's a bipartisan indictment.
We're talking with Anthony Scaramucci, author of the new book, From Wall Street to the White House and Back. Let me ask you briefly about the recent trial. You know, now the president's been convicted on 34 counts. Do you think the trial was rigged against the former president? What are your thoughts? I mean, I think you told recently you had an appearance on The Hill on News Nation. You said that the way the jury was instructed by Judge Juan Merchan, it was going to be very tough for them not to come back with some guilty pleas. I think there's many of us who feel like this trial was certainly an uphill climb, to say the least.
So I don't agree with them bringing that case. I've been very public about that. But where we are now is the case was brought. Those were 12 jurists. They're private citizens. They're not necessarily politically motivated. Some of them even admitted that they were Trump supporters. When you have 12 jurists that convict somebody of the crime, I think it's a very difficult thing for the politicians to then go out and suggest that it was rigged and to go out and suggest that the system itself is unfair. He was tried on facts that people agreed to, and he was convicted on those facts. Now, whether or not you should have brought that case against him, and was that a case that I would have brought against him, I would not have brought that case against him. But I don't think we go from not bringing the case against him to the system is unfair and the system is rigged. You know, we can't have that in our society because, number one, it's not true. The president's son is on trial right now for things that he did, and they're selecting a jury. And that's the president's own, quote-unquote, Department of Justice. You've got Bob Menendez on trial for corruption. He's a Democrat. And so we have to have a semblance of fairness and a semblance of predictability in the system. And I think it's wrong for the Republicans to be reading these talking points as if they're loyalty tests to the president. But yes, I don't. The case wasn't brought, and I want these ideas about America's future litigated on November 5th. I don't think we should be doing this in the judicial system, and I've been very clear about that. But once the case went in there, I don't want our politicians going after our private citizens who are compulsorily required to be jurists in our judicial system.
Do you I know the concept of the book talks about Wall Street and the White House. You've seen firsthand the difference between Wall Street and the White House. So often we say as conservatives, we say that we want to see government be run more like a business. Is that really even possible? Yeah. I mean, the two concepts are so different. Is it even possible to run government like a business?
It's such a good point, sir. You know, I've learned my comeuppance in life. Obviously, I was fired and was put through the windmill in the American media. And so I've been humbled by life. I've been humbled by markets. As a lifelong conservative, I can tell you that it's impossible to run the government like a business. Should there be more accountability? Should there be audits of different departments? We know there's several trillion dollars missing at the Defense Department, as an example. Should there be some reckoning or accountability? Certainly. But we also have to understand that the government is trying to provide certain social services and a certain safety net for some of our fellow citizens. And it's also trying to figure out a way to protect and secure Americans through our Defense Department. But remember, the Defense Department is also helping our commerce. You know, we have free shipping lanes all over the world because of the United States Navy and our allies. We have a fair judicial system, which, of course, we have to pay for with our tax dollars, and it's not a business. It's a totally different system. And I would just remind people that during the global financial crisis, whether you're a conservative or you're a liberal, all governments go to the left. You know, George Bush himself, he put forth the $1 trillion spending rescue package during the global financial crisis. Donald Trump, in fairness to him, and I think he does deserve credit for this, there was a number of policies that went into place during COVID to protect the American citizens, and some of that has led to inflation now. But that's nobody's fault. That's just people trying to make good decisions with right. The available information, and obviously there's going to be cost-benefit analysis to every decision.
We've got the new book. It's called From Wall Street to the White House and Back, The Scaramucci Guide to Unbreakable Resilience. It's available on Amazon. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I just try to write an honest story about things that happened to me. If you're having a bad day in your life, as long as it's a health reason, imagine me getting blown from the White House, publicly humiliated on late night comedy, ridiculed by the press and cable news pundits. And how do you come back from that? What do you have to do? How do you got to get your mindset? And I think the big lesson, the resonating message in the book is be kind to other people, live your life with integrity, and don't take yourself that seriously. You know, I don't have a millstone of regret over my mistakes that I hang on my neck in the morning. I don't kick myself in the pants and say, geez, I made a bad decision or said something wrong. I got fired from the White House 7 years ago. I drop all that and move forward in life. And I think that that's the resonating message of the book.
Well, Anthony, again, if folks want to, they can get the book on Amazon. And if they want to connect with you, they can find you on X at Scaramucci, correct?
That's correct, sir. And at Scaramucci on Instagram. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for joining us. I think you're wrong on the election. I'm not a Biden supporter, but I wish you the very best with the book, sir.
That's what makes America great, my friend. We can disagree.
Yep.
Agreeably.
I agree. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye, sir.
Well, he had some connection issues there, but it was still a fascinating conversation. The clicking was a little annoying, but it was still a fascinating conversation. And yes, I'm still voting for a convicted felon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City,
I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere.
I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
In his new op-ed for DC Journal, Hans von Spakovsky calls the Trump verdict a devastating blow to the sanctity of our justice system and its reputation for fairness and nonpartisanship. He went on to say the Trump verdict makes New York City Venezuela on the Hudson. With us now to explain why he feels the verdict was so bogus is Hans von Spakovsky. Excuse me. He is the senior legal fellow and manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative in the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Justice Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Hans is also a former commissioner on the Federal Election Commission, so he knows a thing or two about election law. Hans, thank you for joining us this evening. It's nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Well, John, thanks for inviting me back.
So the former president was convicted on 34, let's remind everybody, misdemeanors for basically a paperwork error. It sure does seem like this was a stretch to one heck of a lot of the electorate. A lot of folks looking at this thing thinking, wow, you know, why wasn't this a slap on the wrist? And you hear pay a fine instead of going to the extent that they did.
Well, in fact, if it had been a misdemeanor, the statute of limitations had already run because those paperwork errors, falsification of a business record, it has a 2-year statute of limitations.
Right.
So that long ran. What Alvin Bragg did is he came in and said, well, no, actually, these are felonies because the false business hide another crime. Okay, well, what was that other crime? Oh, well, he said, well, it's this other New York law that says that you've committed a crime if you use unlawful means to promote a candidate in an election. Now, keep in mind, that other New York statute that supposedly turned this into a felony was nowhere mentioned in the indictment against Donald Trump.
Right.
Okay? And so, all right, that was step number two. Well, what was the unlawful means that Donald Trump supposedly used? Well, Alvin Bragg claimed that the settlement payment to Stormy Daniels, $130,000, which they tried to paint it as if it was something nefarious, something illegal. It wasn't. It was perfectly legitimate, perfectly legal. What he says is that should have been not listed as a legal expense, which is what it was listed as, but it should have been listed as a campaign-related expense. Okay, well, you know, we've gone step one, step two, step three. Oh, by the way, that claim that it should have been listed as a campaign-related expense, that was also not in the indictment.
Right.
And the problem with claiming that it was a campaign-related expense is actually very simple. Donald Trump was in a federal election. That means federal law applies, not state law. And by the way, the exclusive authority for enforcing that federal law is with the U.S. Department of Justice and the Federal Election Commission, where I once served as a commissioner. No local prosecutor has the right to do that. And in any event, under federal law, that payment to Stormy Daniels would not be considered a campaign-related expense. And people don't have to take my word for it, even though I was a commissioner there, because all they have to do is look at the fact that neither the Federal Election Commission nor the Justice Department considered it a campaign-related expense,
right,
because they didn't prosecute him for it.
Well, and I mean, I've been an elected official. I've been a candidate. If a candidate wants to use his own money to spend on a campaign, he can spend it on whatever he wants because it's his campaign. You can spend personal money, unlimited amounts of personal money on your own campaign for whatever you want. If I'm a rich billionaire and I want to spend $100 million on a blimp for my campaign, I can do it. I could pay off as many hookers, prostitutes, and porn stars as I wanted to of my own money. There's no limit to that. It's not a violation if that's what I wanted to do. So,
No, that's exactly right. And here's the other thing. If Donald Trump had actually used campaign money to pay this expense, he would have been prosecuted.
Thank you. That's the crime. Exactly. That would have been a crime if he'd used donations, for example. If he'd actually used money that had been donated to his campaign, that would have been a campaign violation. So, I mean, the whole thing. And then, Hans, this notion that the judge told the jurors that they didn't need to even agree on what the other crimes the defendant had committed. How is that even legal?
It's not. That upsets several hundred years of the law that we've developed in this country, which is very straightforward. A jury has to unanimously agree on every aspect of a crime. And what the judge did was just another sign of how biased he was, and that he was acting as if he was a member of the prosecution team and not a judge.
We're talking with legal expert and former FEC commissioner Hans von Spakovsky. Hans, with the fairly obvious appearances of bias, should Judge Mershon have presided over this case in the first place, or should he have recused himself? I mean, when you look at the fact that he donated to campaigns, that his daughter's working for a consulting firm that you know has done business for the Bidens, shouldn't Mershon have even recused himself from the case in the first place?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He violated the most basic judicial ethics rules one can imagine. I mean, his family had a financial interest in the outcome of this trial, and yet he didn't recuse himself. Again, another sign of just how biased he was throughout this case. And look, it's very clear that this jury came to this verdict not by actually examining the evidence, or really the lack of evidence in the case, but because it was a biased jury, too. And the way you can see that very easily is, think about this, a six-week trial, 6 weeks, lots of witnesses, and yet the jury comes back in less than 2 days?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way they could have even begun to review what happened in the case. Less than 2 days, they come back and say, oh, yeah, he's guilty on every count.
Well,
I'm sorry, but that tells you what was really going on here.
Well, based on the instructions they were given by the judge, how could they not come back with a jury with a guilty verdict? But I also have to ask you about what happened on Friday. The judge made the parties aware of a post to the court's system's Facebook page. In the post, a user said, quote, "My cousin is a juror and says Trump is getting convicted. Thank you, folks, for all your hard work." If this has turned out to be true, and that's a big if, but if this turns out to be true, Hans, what are the implications of this revelation?
That is jury misconduct of the worst kind, because that indicates that the jury had already decided to come in with a guilty verdict before they had even begun to review the evidence in the case. That is grounds for instant throwing out of the verdict by the judge. And if, as you say, this turns out to be true and the judge fails to do that, that would be one of the most, not just an error by the judge, but intentional, I think, wrongdoing by the judge.
So how, I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, and I think to his credit, at least Mershon shared it with both attorneys, the state and Trump's attorneys. How do they prove it? What do they do at this point? What happens with this revelation, with this? I mean, what's the steps here that happens now?
Well, the judge, I think, has already scheduled a hearing. He's going to have the lawyers in for both sides, and they're going to have to basically decide how this is going to be investigated. And quite frankly, while it's being investigated, the judge ought to put off and unschedule the hearing that he set up for July, just a couple of days before the Republican National Convention, for
the sentencing,
entry of the verdict and sentencing.
Yeah, because this, if this turns out to be true, you're right. It means that the jury was predisposed, and that means and publicly talking about it, and which that means that this whole thing, well, it means what Trump has said all along, was that it was a sham. And I think that's why so many people like myself are saying, hey, you know, I'm voting for a convicted felon, because if it's the trial's a joke, then the conviction's a joke. So, I mean, I don't know, I which is why Trump's raised over $100 million since the conviction.
Right. Right.
But it is sad. And, you know, the point that you make in your op-ed is that this isn't, yes, it's bad for Trump, it's bad for the brand, but it's really the sad part is it's bad for, as you say, the sanctity of our justice system and the reputation of our justice system, because theoretically, Lady Justice is supposed to be blind.
Yeah, that's true. And look, with only rare exceptions, we've had a good justice system because we've never had a system in which the people in power in government used the judicial system to go after their political opponents. That is just is not something that happens in this country. It happens everywhere else in the world. And now it looks like it's happening here. Look, if people think this is exaggeration, think about just one other thing. Donald Trump is being prosecuted by the feds for the mishandling of classified documents when he, as the president, left office. Keep in mind, the president has the ultimate authority over whether documents are classified or not.
Right, right.
And at the very same time, this same Justice Department has said, we're not going to prosecute Joe Biden for his mishandling of classified documents, which went on for decades while he was a senator and when he was vice president, basically stealing documents, classified documents, and taking them home. How can anyone look at those two situations and say that we have not developed a two-tier justice system and that this administration isn't going after its political opponent?
Because, Hans, Joe Biden is a, quote, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, remember?
Right, right.
Hans, if folks want to connect with you, if they want to read this op-ed, if they want to read other things that you've written, they can find it at heritage.org, correct?
That is correct.
Brother, I appreciate you. It's always good to have you on the show. You're always concise. You bring good information to the show, and I appreciate it, my friend.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us. I've got to share a few things that have been kind of on my mind lately. You know, we talk about these elections. I mentioned it quite a bit, and I've been getting comments quite a bit on what Dan and I talked about in the first hour on whether or not you think taxpayers should be funding the multi, in this case, billion-dollar sports stadiums. It should be pointed out that this is not general fund money. This is not income tax money. It is sales tax money. So it's a little bit different. But I do think people should look into it. I think you should visit, you know, do your own research on this. Americans for Prosperity has some great information on this. I would recommend that you visit AmericansForProsperity.com. You can find out, or .org rather. You get some great information from them on this issue. On the flip side, you know, the organization that we're going to have on next week is Scoop and Score. And that's the group that has been hired to advocate on behalf of this event, or this proposal, shall we say. And, you know, there's pros and cons. I'm trying to stay as neutral on this as I can, which is not easy because I've got friends on both sides of this. And trust me, they're both fighting. This is like when mom and dad fight. This is a tough one because literally it's mommy and daddy are fighting. And I am trying my best not to get involved in this one. So, I really don't want to get involved in this. And they all keep asking and they all keep pushing. And I really don't want to get involved with this particular fight. So I'm going to try and stay neutral as best I can. Please don't ask me to get involved. But they've been trying. So I would just recommend you do your own research on this. Like I said, the Kansas Chambers picked a side. Americans for Prosperity has clearly picked a side. But there are conservatives on both sides of this issue. Just make sure you're informed. Because I think there's a lot of misinformation on both sides. Because there's a lot of passion on both sides. So stay informed. Do your research. And call your representatives. They want to hear from you. If you want them to know how they should vote, how you think they should vote, call them. They need to hear from you. And we'll be here next week. We'll bring you a good, informative show. In the meantime, have a great week and carry on, fellow deplorables.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.